Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inside Scoop Live. Thanks for tuning in today. I'll be your host, Juanita Watson, and I have a special program today. I've invited author M. Hill to talk about her new book, The Ones That Got Away, a dating memoir. M. is a Northeast transplant currently living in Scottsdale, Arizona. This is her first book, and it is an elaborate answer to the repetitive question asked by friends and family, why are you still single? Apparently, this is a no-holds-barred tell-all book, so I'm just really intrigued to have her here on the line today and to talk about her book more in depth. So welcome to Inside Scoop Live, Em.
Oh, thank you, Juanita. I'm so thrilled to be here.
Yeah, so did you always have the dream of writing a book?
No, actually, I didn't. It sort of came to me in an inspiration. And I thought, you know, when you get these inspiring lightning bolt type moments, you really can't ignore those. And mine was to write this book.
Well, wonderful. Well, congratulations. I mean, it must be great. It just came out, so it just hit shelves. You must feel wonderful.
You know, it's really a little mind-blowing.
Yeah.
You know, I hold the book and I say, wow, this is my book. I wrote a book, you know, and my friends and family, they're so blown away by it also.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's been very, very exciting.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And this being, you know, your life, I mean, it even makes it even, you know, a bigger deal. So really, congratulations.
Thank you.
So I think I read somewhere, Em, that you are actually more conservative than one would think, having written this type of book. So are your friends and
well,
family?
Juanita, have you checked out my blog?
Yes.
I just did that post. You know, it's yes, I am. I am generally a conservative, modest person. I mean, even my own mother sometimes will say, you know, maybe a V-neck.
Oh, right.
Hoop neck. You know what I mean? And, of course, I don't want to give away anything about the blog, but my mother's responsible for the crew neck and not the V-neck, as you well know. But, yeah, due to my conservative nature, I think that actually exacerbates some of the funnier predicaments that I have found myself in,
mm-hmm.
you know, over the years.
Yeah.
And I don't know, some people have asked me, how could you be so candid?
Mm-hmm.
One woman said, you completely bared your soul. Where did you find the courage to do that? And I don't know if it's courage or stupidity or what you want to call it, but honestly, I think some of the situations are just so out and out funny that I have to put my own little hang-ups aside and share the humor with the universe.
Yeah, it's a great, great idea. Well, what is the span of age that you're actually chronicling in this book?
Well, I get into the first broken heart, which I point out to the readers, like I just said to you now, the first broken heart, even though it's my first broken heart, in eighth grade, so I was 13.
Oh,
but
no.
Then I do skip along, you know, a little quickly to get to the more meatier stuff, you know.
Mm.
But it's my whole life. It, you know, from you start to, you know, just after turning 40.
Mm-hmm. Now, so there are 32 chapters in this book. Okay, so I have heard, Little Bird told me some story about your brother, and he was pretty astounded that you had 32 chapters in this tell-all book. So tell us the story.
Okay. Yes, he was. You know, when I announced the whole thing, which was a big secret to my family, and kind of told them how the whole thing came about, and, you know, they were firing away the questions. You know, somebody said, how many chapters? And I said, 32. And my brother said, 32 chapters? Are they all men? I said, well, yeah, you know, pretty much. Some are more than one man. He said, oh, my God, is my sister a hooer? You know, but of course he knows I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole thing. I mean, they're not all, you know, sexual escapade chapters. I mean,
mm-hmm.
some are more anecdotal, some are near blind dates, or, you know, blind dates that were, you know, took a turn south kind of thing, you know. Mm-hmm. And so it sort of follows that progression. So.
Well, I was wondering what kinds of dating experiences you were including, if it was all blind dates, or if you had tried the internet dating and had any funny stories about that, or tragic stories, because they're not all funny at the time, I'm sure.
Well, no, and in fact, one reader actually had said to me that you can tell that some of the stories were not funny at the time, but I've managed to tell them in a funny way.
Mm.
And I guess, you know, I had read somewhere along the lines, the third rule of comedy is tragedy over time. So, well, that should make my book just pure hilarity then.
Right.
No, but I have all different sorts of dating things. You know, the very innocent little high school things, as I intimated in the beginning. Then, you know, more serious relationships. I was almost married. I almost got married. Did not go through with it. He hates me to this day, by the way.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I would say in the Italian community, probably he would call me an emasculating biatch.
Oh, God.
You know, and then I've had tons of blind dates. Tons. Because I'm a real believer in you never know.
Mm-hmm.
You just never know. I mean, if you lined up all the men in my life and looked at them, apart from the fact that they were all men, I don't think they have anything else in common. And so it's that intangible chemistry. What are you drawn to?
Mm.
So if somebody says, you know, I know somebody that's, you know, looking to meet a nice person or whatever, would you be interested? Sure.
Mm.
You know, and I met a lot of people like that, although over the years I've begun to refine the guidelines for that. You know, he needs to have a little more going on than he's still single.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He also needs to not have any outstanding warrants for his arrest, for
example.
Well,
that's a good one.
Yeah, you know, not too stringent. I mean, some people say I'm too picky, but hey, that's just me.
Yeah, right.
You know? And then you asked me about internet dating.
Yeah.
I don't want to give anything away, but I will tell you that chapter 31 is dedicated to online stuff, and I do have some funny things in there. You know, I don't not believe in it, but I, after a year or maybe just under a year, I opted out.
Mm.
You know, I'm just like, you know what? I'm fine by myself.
Mm.
And that's the whole thing. Everybody else seems to not be fine. I'm like, look, just let me be. I'm fine. I'm working. I'm doing my thing. I spend time with friends and family.
Yeah.
You know, I don't really need to be sitting across a Starbucks table going, man, if I had stayed home, I could have had my ironing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I opted out.
Well, there you go. Well, why do you think it fascinates people to the point where they would ask you, why are you still single? I mean, to me, that's almost a rude thing to ask another person, you know?
It is. It is. But you know what? Nobody that's ever posed that question to me, they don't really ask it in that light. They're generally surprised, you know, because I'm a fairly accomplished person. You know, I do okay for myself. People are always complimentary about me physically, personality-wise. You know, I'm a good person. I'm involved. And they just really don't understand it, you know. But the sad commentary is that all those people, even though they have really good intentions, if I had said to them, oh, you know, I'm actually divorced, they'd go, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I said, you know, it's a little painful, but I'm a widow, they'd be like, oh, but okay. And then they could move about their life happy. Do you know what I mean? People I find are less accepting of not only single, but single and not even looking anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I'm not closed off to it. Well, it just went on a blind date, I don't know, a month ago, a coffee date. You know, okay, I'll meet the guy. You know, you start out, so how long have you been in Arizona? You know, what brought you here? When was the last time you had sex? I said, I'm sorry, what was that? This man actually asked me that.
Really?
You know, and I'm thinking, what is he looking for?
Yeah, right.
Know, and I believe me, I don't fault him for wondering,
mm-hmm.
you know, because he's a guy.
Sure.
But you ask that question.
Yeah. There was no filter.
Like,
no filter from
It's crazy. I think of like that show, 2.5 Men. You know, even like the character of Charlie Harper, who would certainly be wondering that question and be plotting how to get her back to his place would not ask it in such a tactless way.
Mm.
You know, he'd at least, like, you know, shroud it in some witty innuendo,
mm.
you know, endear himself to the person. I'm just like, ugh. And, you know, I said to him, how did I even answer him? I said, not since my last serious relationship. And then I reached across the table and patted him on the shoulder and said, let that be a little foreshadowing for you. Just crazy, crazy. And then, of course, the person that suggested we meet for coffee, how did it go? I'm like, you know, not for me.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I'm a trooper. I mean, if somebody thinks that there's a potential, I'll still go.
You'll give it a shot.
Yeah.
Well, I wonder if you've ever had anyone comment or suggest to you that, well, maybe you're just attracting this string of, you know, problems or these kinds of relationships, or, you know, are you being too critical? I mean, do you get any of that kind of negative?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You're a self-saboteur.
Mm-hmm.
You're commitment phobic. I'm like as loyal as the day is long, which maybe I am commitment phobic because I'm not, you know, I'm definitely not the kind that, you know, meets somebody and then, oh, I'm in love, you know, immediately. I can't even relate to people like that.
Mm.
And I've come across people like that, and I'm like, love them? Really? You've known them 9 days. Okay, good for you. Good, good, you know. And I think there must be something wrong with me. I don't get, you know, swept away. But, you know, I think because, you know, I work in addition to, you know, writing,
uh-huh.
a day job, and it's very demanding, and it's in a very male-oriented construction-type industry. And so, you know, when I'm done, I just don't really feel like I have the time or the energy.
Mm.
And if I met, believe me, in, throughout the book, you know, there have been, you know, more than one or two that have really caught my attention, captivated my energy, you know, lit me up, couldn't wait to see them.
Mm-hmm.
And for those, you know, I would do anything.
Yeah.
You know, but then, you know, when that falls by the wayside, and maybe I've had one too many fall by the wayside.
Mm.
So at this point, I just say, I'm just, you know.
Just doing your own thing for a while.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you grow up hoping to find Mr. Right someday, have a big wedding, have the family, all of that?
No.
Was that a big dream? No?
No, I never did. I never had that dream. I just, I mentioned early on in the book that I really related to Mary Richards from the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Oh,
you know, and she was a single girl.
Yeah.
And she worked, and she, you know, was in a male-dominated field, you
oh,
know,
okay.
casting or whatever. She had her apartment. She had a friend. She dated. And to me, I just could relate to that.
Mm.
You know, I tell a story, I mean, very briefly, I touch on it. We were in, I was in 10th grade, and my good friend, Sue, was dating this guy, David, and he broke up with her. Which was, we were like, you're kidding. I mean, we couldn't even believe she ever even went out with him,
mm.
you know? And she was so upset. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I said, Sue, is this a guy you think you're going to marry? We're 15, you know? So I never had those kinds of, like, aspirations.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've always been a little more like Mr. Spock, I think.
Yeah, you know,
you're very pragmatic.
Yes, very
yeah.
practical and very
yes.
logical.
Yes.
I think that's a good thing, you know? I think you're...
I'm sorry, it's not a bad thing, but I do feel there are times that I cheat myself out of my own emotional tirades.
Mm.
I think sometimes you have to have them,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you're upset or something like that. But I just go, well, I guess, you know, it wasn't meant to be, or, and, you know, soldier on.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. Now, I actually read in an interview somewhere that you don't really consider yourself the marrying kind, and I find that interesting. So what does that mean exactly?
Well, just because... A little bit like what I've been saying. I do my own thing, you know, which I'm not a selfish person. You know, anybody that you could ask that would know me would say no. I mean, you know, generous, there for you, at the, you know, drop of a hat. You know, people are always saying that kind of stuff. But I don't know. I just, you know, I get up, I hike a little, I work, I kind of just do what I want to do. And you know, I've been in a couple of smothering relationships.
Mm.
You know, I remember having to explain why I was watching television on the couch and not or on the love seat and not the couch. You know, how come you're not over here by me? I'm like, by you. I'm 6 feet from you, you know, and I'm just not that kind of a person, a woman or girl, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a cuddler. I don't feel that I need another person there to validate me.
Mm.
I mean, if I want to go to the mall, I'll go to the mall. And if I want to go to a movie, not that I do that a lot, but, you know, we were just discussing this the other day. I have gone twice to the movies by myself, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't feel I need that other person there to do for me. You know, I'm pretty industrious. I, you know, do even odd chores around my home. You know, I'll be honest, I would prefer it sometimes not to have to do that. Like when my garage door opener snapped and the chain went flying, I'm like, this would be a good time to go in the house and go, honey.
Have a man around,
honey,
right?
The chain is broken. You know, but honey wasn't here, so I had to do it. I had grease all over my hands, you know, but I did it. You know, so I think this day and age, if you're a single woman and you have a decent career and you could take care of yourself and provide for yourself and have other people in your life, I still have a lot of friends, I have family, you know, I'm involved at my church,
mm-hmm.
although I have to be honest with you, Juanita, I think if they get a hold of this book, they may ask me to opt out of the children's ministry. No, hopefully not. He who cast the first stone.
That's
right,
right. That's right, that's right.
So, yeah, you know, so I have a full life.
Yeah.
And it is probably selfish to say, but if I don't find somebody who's going to add to it or contribute to it, then, no thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Because I find there's just a lot of takers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they suck you dry, mm-hmm. and they're not really, I mean, men just seem to be looking for mothers.
Mm.
So I've had a couple of those.
Well, there's a lot of those out there.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. So
I think we're living in a time right now, though, where women are becoming very independent. They're more empowered to take their life, you know, by the reins. They're more in control of their lives. So, you know, I think in like the 30s, in women in their 30s and 40s, you know, we're seeing more single women, and they're choosing to be that way, just like you, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people are, like I said before, I think they'd be more comfortable if I was divorced or, God forbid, you know, a widow. But
Right. Single,
it makes them uncomfortable, and I just think that's a sad thing, that it's more accepting today to actually be divorced than to not have ever made that mistake.
Mm.
And I think a lot of people make that mistake because they're afraid to be single.
Mm-hmm.
You know, society says you're supposed to get together.
Well, there's a stigma about being single as you get older.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have an uncle that just got married. It's his second marriage, and he's, I want to say, 55. And he's coming out here for a little golf, you know, trip or whatever. And I said, so I sent him an email, and I said, hey, you old married man, are you bringing the ball and chain? You know? And he's not. But I signed it, you know, love your niece, the spinster, you know. So just kidding around. Of course, you know, I'm certainly not a spinster, you know, by true definition. But, you know, single, fine. And I'll go out, and I'll have dinner with him and his buddies, and I'll do that without having a date. No problem.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Established in 1998, Rebecca's Reads is a book review and publicity service serving a large reading audience as well as a wide community of authors, publishers, publicists, and buyers and sellers. They offer reviews of recently published books as well as chapter readings, teasers, and videos to help you decide what book you would like to read next. Their insightful author interviews take connecting reader and author one step further, and if you decide you would like to purchase a book, an easy-to-navigate link will allow you to purchase the book immediately online. For the authors, publicists, and publishers, Rebecca's Reads has a variety of publicity services to help them market their books to their reading audience. Their services are budget-friendly and effective. For buyers and sellers, they have a monthly list of current reviews in the Book Review Index for easy browsing, as they know your time is precious and efficiency is the priority. Be sure to visit RebeccasReads.com and browse around their new space. Whatever your literary need, this user-friendly website may be just what you're looking for. Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. I'm talking today with M. Hill, author of The Ones That Got Away, a dating memoir. You can find out more about Em through her website, honeybeepublishing.com. Now, do you think that stigma about being single is the same for men as it is for women?
No, because a man could be, you know, a bachelor until he's, you know, 53, I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm.
And at 53, he can still pick up a 29-year-old bride.
Mm-hmm.
And she'll be happy to have him. Yeah. You know, there's something wrong with us. I was out the other night, and I saw this young couple go into an ice cream place. I had my niece and nephew in there, and they were clearly on a date. And she was all done up, you know, very pretty, little sundress, strappy sandals. He was in nice slacks, dark shirt, tie, very yuppie, but, you know, in their 20s. So they go into this ice cream place. She gets a single scoop of whatever it was in a cup. They ring it up. Mm-hmm. He says to her, I don't have any money. She's like, oh, okay, I'll get it. And I'm thinking, sister, cut him loose now.
Yeah.
You know, the guy can't spring for $1.59 scoop of ice cream.
Uh-huh.
There's just something wrong. But women will settle. They'll take a guy and they'll take care of him and look after him. And, you know, I was never involved, thank God, with an abuser, you know, drinker or anything like that.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I had one little mental whack job in my past, but, you know, he wasn't a drinker and he wasn't physical. Why?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is that actually better than being alone? To many, it is.
Yeah, it's true.
Mm-hmm. I know, and I find that very, very sad. I'd rather stick needles in my eye than have to be with, you know, something like that.
Well, why do you think that women do make those kinds of choices? You know, they're choosing basically the fear of being alone, you know.
I think they're just it's pure fear.
Yeah.
Or they're afraid that they can't make it on their own. And, you know, sadly, some, you know, can't. I mean, it's tough out there financially.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, or just seem like they wouldn't want to go to a party by themselves. But, you know, if you're going to a party that a friend is hosting, right, then you probably know other people there.
Mm-hmm.
But some people just say, oh, I'm like a loser if I'm by myself. Well, really, you're like a loser if you're with that drunken guy that's beating you up.
Yeah.
You know? But,
yeah.
So I don't understand the psychology behind it, but I'm sure there is psychology
mm-hmm.
behind it. And like I've always said, you know, there by the grace of God goes I. I mean, thank God that I'm fine.
Yeah.
Like this,
yeah.
You know, because I'm going to be like this, you know. And if I was really unhappy, I'd just be up here crying, up here because I live on a hill, crying all the time and, you know, and I'm not. So,
yeah.
You know, you really have to have stuff to occupy your time.
Sure.
Too. You know, like, you know, the writing of this book was just so much fun for me. And nobody in my family knew I was writing it.
They didn't.
That probably means something, too. But it was just a little secret. I had this flash of inspiration, and I kind of laid that out in the very opening of the book.
Mm-hmm.
And I came home, and I just said, let me just see this. I have this. It's like in my head, and I could see it. And I wrote, like, the first three chapters.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on fire. I was so excited, you know. And then it became, like, my little secret lover.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I would be invited to, oh, we're having a barbecue, you know, after church on Sunday. I said, oh, really? I have some things I need to
I'm busy.
And I'd like race home and I'd be like, get back into chapter 14 or whatever, you know? And so I think sometimes the, you know, whether it's male or female, you know, any relationship, you know, the opposite sex person just, they fill that,
mm.
you know, for me, it would be guys, it's like girls, somebody to fill their time,
mm.
you know, so don't date a loser. Go get a hobby. Go get a book.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. So what do you ultimately hope that women, because I think that women are going to be the predominant readers of this book, what do you hope that they get from it?
Well, I would hope that they get that you don't have to settle.
Mm-hmm.
You really shouldn't settle. I mean, I almost made, you know, a tragic mistake in getting married. Just because everybody around me was getting married.
Mm.
And I'm so glad that I didn't. And you can see, you know, maybe you're 20-something or 30-something, you might be reading the book, about to get married yourself. And, you know, I don't think there's anybody out there who gets married erroneously that doesn't know it's the day of their wedding.
Mm.
Because I will tell you, when I ended my engagement, so many of, like, my mother's friends, my mother, on, you know, she remarried. But, you know, they were like, oh, I knew on my wedding day.
Oh.
But people do it because
yeah.
then, How do you not do it?
Yeah.
Well, it's hard, but you say, I can't marry you. I mean, it's very hard.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to hurt anybody. You don't want to lose a ton of money. But you don't want to get married, for goodness sakes, just to spare yourself of those two things.
Mm.
You know, so maybe somebody reading the book, they would say, oh, gee, she got out of it. And then look, she had...
She's successful.
27 other men in her
sure,
life.
Sure.
Not 27.
What do you make of women, too, that go into a relationship or a marriage like this, thinking that they are going to be able to change the quirky behaviors of their partner?
It's unrealistic.
Mm-hmm.
It's just unrealistic. You can't change anybody, I truly believe, fundamentally. no sooner than you can make somebody who's 5'7", 5'10".
Mm-hmm.
You know, they are who they are. I knew a couple friend of mine years ago, they're divorced now, but she was, you know, confiding in me that her husband just was not a cuddler. He doesn't cuddle. And it bothers her. You know, it was bothering her so much. So I said to her, well, can you pinpoint back to when he stopped? You know, because maybe something happened that, you know, caused this change in behavior. And she goes, oh, he never did.
Mm.
I said, well, then why are you mad at him?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you marry somebody that's a little more restrained or aloof or whatever, and they're still like that 7 years later, well, it's really, you can't get mad at them for that.
Right.
You know, and, I mean, if you're with somebody and they're a slob, I'm sorry to say it, but they're going to leave their clothes around, they're going to leave dishes wherever,
yeah.
And if you can't handle that, you get out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I knew somebody that, this is mentioned in the book, I don't want to give too much away, but it was a male friend of mine and was engaged to be married, and he ended his engagement around the same time I ended my engagement, and he said he just felt like he was ahead on a groom. You know, it was not him that she was marrying.
Oh.
I said, you know, I'm sure she loves you. But, you know, a lot of times, you know, girls, I'm counseling him. He was an ex-boyfriend at the time. I'm like, a lot of times girls have these dreams and aspirations of their wedding. So you're probably just getting a little swept up in that. But sure, she loves you. Well, he wasn't so sure, and he ended his engagement. Apparently was the inspiration after
Uh-oh.
Ending my own.
Mm-hmm.
And 6 months later, my mother knew someone that knew that girl's mother. 6 months later, that girl had met somebody else and was married.
Wow.
Within 6 months.
Wow.
I know. I'm like, wow, I guess he was right.
Mm.
Head on a groom.
Mm.
You know, I mean, it just didn't matter. I have a male friend that got married just because he always saw himself as married.
Mm.
And he got to a certain age, somewhere in, I don't even remember, 28, 30, something like that. And he just thought, well, I don't know. I don't think she's really the one, but pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be married and I want to have a family. You know,
mm-hmm.
he married her.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yeah, she really knows that's how he felt.
God.
You know, you're like number two, honey, you know. But,
yeah.
You know, so, I mean, it goes both ways. You know, both genders, I think, do fall into that sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So, and, you know, I don't know. I love children. I'm like the best friend, the best aunt. I teach the 4-year-olds at my church, but I never really had a desire to have my own.
Mm-hmm.
And so that probably plays a big part into why I'm okay to be single.
I would think so too. And
yeah.
More and more women are making that choice as well, realizing that they do have that choice. You know, the gender roles are really shifting now.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and the thing about being the cool friend or the cool aunt or the teacher or whatever is you have just the best of the quality time, you know?
Yeah.
And you're either your shift is done or the
yep.
parents come home.
Yep,
or
and that's it.
Back from your vacation, and then you're like, you come back to your house. It's all nice.
Yeah.
You know, nothing sticky anywhere.
Yeah, that's so funny. You know, this book to me seems to be more of a book about empowerment and choice than, you know, just about dating and the dating experiences. You know,
that'd be great because has more substance, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, I think you can be a real inspiration to other women that are probably thinking this way and feeling this way but maybe need a little validation because this isn't necessarily the norm. Today.
It's not the norm now, but
yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised, like you were mentioning earlier, just, you know, not too far down the road. It will not be as uncommon.
No, it's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 So let's
It's funny, too, because I wrote this whole story. You know, like I said, I had the flash of the story, and I started it, and it kind of, you know, wrote itself. You write about what you know. I certainly know my life. And then it just ended when it ended. You know, some people are like, is this one in there? I'm like, No. Did it? No. My book ended before that guy came around, you know, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it really wasn't until I decided to really finish the project, get it published, get it out there, where I came up with that line about that it's just an elaborate answer to why I'm still single.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, obviously as I start to do it, people, oh, what made you write that? I'm like, I don't know, really. You know?
Yeah.
But then I thought, people do say that, like, really, you're single? What? I just can go here. Just read this.
Yeah.
I think you'll get it.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Or do you think you'll write another book, or was this a one-shot?
Well, I have had people say they can't wait for my next book.
Oh, really?
I don't know if I'm going to have another, 40-year life story, but
right.
People are enjoying my blog.
Yeah.
I don't know. If I became a one-hit wonder, even a half-hit wonder or a nitwit wonder even, I'd be very happy with that. I'm just so – I am so unbelievably touched by the people that have read the book so far, that have been just so kind and supportive and loving it. I'm getting feedback, about, oh, this one reminds me of this, and I can't believe your story with that, and you had me laughing out loud. And I can't believe that I've brought this, level of entertainment to people.
Mm-hmm.
So
was meant to be written.
I think it was.
Yeah.
I truly do.
Yeah, absolutely. And so your website then, Em, is honeybeepublishing.com, and your
That's
book
correct.
And your book can be purchased through the website.
That's correct. If you go to honeybeepublishing.com,
okay,
it's actually linked to an author's website, mm-hmm. and so I don't want anybody to be put off by that. But
mm-hmm.
The profile of my book will come right up, The Ones That Got Away, a dating memoir, and underneath that there's all different. There's my links where you could read written interviews or see my blog. You can click Buy Me Now. It'll go right to Amazon.com, although it's also available on BarnesandNoble.com.
Okay.
There's a link to testimonials, some feedback that I've been getting from reviewers and whatnot, on the .com booksellers.
Mm-hmm.
So I would hope that everybody's going to run right out to honeybeepublishing.com. Click, click, click. Bye, bye, bye.
That's great. Well, it really is a fantastic read. And like I said earlier, reviews coming back are really, really hitting it on the mark. I mean, people are loving this book. So
they are. Isn't it amazing?
Yeah, it really is. It's
it
wonderful.
Is.
I think you should come out with another one. I'm not too sure. It would have to be on a little bit of a, a different, a little different path, but
My one friend, a friend of mine that I've picked up along the way throughout this process, or a recent friend, says she can't wait to see my next book all on sisters.
Oh,
so I'm like, I don't know if they'd all – some of them are mentioned in this book as it is. No.
Yeah.
I'm hearing different things like that. I have this Post-it note where I'm jotting a couple of things down, so we'll see. You never know.
I think that's a great idea. Well, it's been wonderful talking with you. This has really been a fun interview, and I just hope you have just continued success with the book. And
thank you, Juanita.
You bet, Em. Did you have any final thoughts you wanted to share with listeners today and the women out there that are maybe in the middle of dating disasters themselves?
Well, dating disasters, I'm going to say it should be like my mantra, cut them loose. Because if it's not good now, it's not getting any better.
Mm.
And I'm not talking certainly about, people who are in really long-standing relationships and there's a hiccup. But I think we all know when we lay our head on the pillow at night and we say, what are we doing? Cut that person loose. That's what I say. Mm-hmm. I say, go to honeybeepublishing.com, buy my book. Post your review. Let's get some buzz going. And, women need to be stronger.
Yeah.
They just need to be stronger and believe in themselves.
I love that. And that really, to me, is kind of the underlying message of what you're putting out there. It's just women's empowerment, and I think it's a beautiful message.
Well, thank you so much. I have had a blast speaking with you.
You bet. I have too, Em, and I hope to have you back. I think you've got another book in you.
Well, when I get it, I'll make sure you know.
Please
I'll
do.
I'll be sure to let you know.
Please do. All right.
Okay.
Well, you take care, and all the best to you.
Okay, you too.
All right. Okay, listeners, I've been talking with Em Hill. Her new book, The Ones That Got Away, a dating memoir, is available through her website, honeybeepublishing.com, and that links you right to Amazon. It's also available through Barnes & Noble, and I would imagine locally through your bookstore they can order it. So I hope you've enjoyed the interview today. Thank you so much for tuning in to Inside Scoop Live. I'm Juanita Watson, and until next time.